Riviera Radio. Business.
Morning, Mr. Potts.
Good morning.
A point of order on the golf, first of all.
Well, you were sort of rejoicing in Tyrrell Hatton's wonderful victory.
Played very well.
He did play very well, and there were some good shots in there, and I was sort of pleased for him. I don't know what happened in terms of the attire front. You know, should you be wearing a hoodie on a golf course?
Well, it was cold.
Looked like tracky bottoms as well being worn. Yeah, not for me, thank you.
Well, no, so you think Ian Poulter's dress is okay, and Ricky
wonderful.
Fowler, that's
Poulter,
okay.
Fabulous, yeah. Orange is good, no problem. A hoodie is... There's no place for a hoodie on a golf course.
Well, it's the future.
Well, not for me, thank
well,
you.
Well, I suggest you
nice
get down...
Nice cashmere jumper, very nice.
Get down to Wentworth and make an official complaint. It's not fun.
Oh, do you think they...
probably, a man of your standing, they'd probably listen to you, yeah.
Yeah, I would imagine so. See, what, take the trophy back?
So you've got the old Farris slacks and Pringle jumper, have you, when you go out?
I used to have a Nick Faldo Pringle jumper, actually.
Oh, dear, what, with diamonds on it?
Yeah, it was really good. That was a classic.
A la Ronnie Corbett. Right. Okay, less about your dress sense and more about the markets. Pretty good week last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, positive yet volatile week, certainly for risk assets and investors. But additional US stimulus will eventually be forthcoming. Central banks will remain supportive. Progress on a vaccine can eventually mitigate the impact of the pandemic, all of which helped to offset fraught political negotiations on both sides of the Atlantic, disturbing virus headlines and fears of tighter regulation in the tech sector. In terms of performance highlights last week, US stocks rallied. S&P 500 up 3.8%, in fact, posing its biggest weekly increase since July. Treasury yields mostly flat, the dollar eased back. In Europe, the Stoxx 600 posted its second consecutive gain, rose 2.1% over the week, most in 4 months. Energy shares registered their biggest weekly gain since June as crude prices rose after Hurricane Delta, resulting in near total shutdown of crude output in the Gulf of Mexico. Lots to focus on during the course of this week. Markets, you hope, may get a better understanding of the likelihood and scope of a Brexit deal ahead of the EU summit on Thursday and Friday. However, hopes that EU heads of states would be reviewing a draft of the UK-EU trade agreement have all but disappeared. It looks like those negotiations will have to continue into the second half of this month. Investors will also be watching closely, I think, US inflation data, US retail sales numbers on Friday, along with UK employment figures tomorrow. So lots for markets to digest over the course of the trading week. Opening calls looking positive this morning. Had a good session in Asia overnight. Currently calling the FTSE up 6 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 62 points. CAC 40 in Paris up 29 points.
So it's another big week for Brexit then, is it?
It's yet another crucial deadline week for Brexit, absolutely right.
And this week you'll be finding out whether you'll be able to enjoy the delights of chlorinated chicken after the new year.
There's something around beef as well. What is the idea?
Hormone-fed beef.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's going to make a lovely Christmas.
Still, I mean, it helps if you're immune to the coronavirus, doesn't it, really?
Apparently so.
Donald Trump will be electioneering in earnest this week. He's got a lot of ground to make up, but we shouldn't trust the polls, even though they're giving Biden a lead of between 12 and 14 points at the moment.
Yeah, the national lead looks significant, of course, and also within the all-important swing states as you look to the Electoral College math to try and figure out who's going to become the next president of the United States. As you say, the pollsters have got it wrong in the past. You particularly find that, I guess, with Donald Trump, he does have supporters. They're not often prepared to voice it in public or when they're doing these types of, or when they're canvassed by pollsters. So we have to wait to see exactly how it plays out, of course, on Election Day. But it's certainly looking like Biden has some significant electoral advantages going into the vote.
He's going to need a landslide, isn't he, if Donald Trump is going to contest it. I mean, if it's a massive victory in the Electoral College, then Trump won't be able to say anything. But if there's any hints of it being disputed, then it's going to end up in the courts, as we said before.
Yeah, and that's the biggest fear from financial markets. That will certainly add to volatility. Investors have been looking to try and hedge that through derivatives in an effort to try to reduce the potential pain that could cause. So we've certainly seen that as a factor for investors, and they're paying close attention to that. We've already seen in numerous states lots of allegations around vote rigging around disorderly ballots, and that will continue to come to the fore, one would suspect, as we head towards the election day. As you say, the size of the victory either way will be considered important in terms of determining whether we will indeed get that contested election.
And what a lot of people overlook is that there's a battle for control of the Senate as well, which would, I mean, if Biden gets into the White House and the Democrats gain control of the Senate, then can see a massive stimulus program coming along.
Yeah, a blue sweep, as it's been described, could have a more radical effect in terms of the agenda from a Democratic administration. I think you are likely to see high levels of regulatory pressure being imposed upon companies against that backdrop. You could also be suggesting a more aggressive stimulus package, although President Trump talking over the course of the weekend saying he's prepared to go even higher. So a bit of a debate about exactly what that means. The general feeling has been, though, should you get that Democratic clean sweep, the policy response would be more aggressive than under a Republican White House.
Well, the tech companies will be watching very closely to see who does gain control of the Senate, because Senate's controlled by the Democrats may well likely see some pretty strong legal action against the Big Four. And Apple is in the news this morning because it's going to stop selling third-party headphones and speakers and just have its own brands.
Yeah, it's quite interesting, this sort of element that you've got to watch out for, this regulatory risk that's perhaps building in the technology sector. And that was highlighted by the House Judiciary Antitrust. I think it was a 449-page report on the technology sector. That investigation, in its own words, revealed an alarming pattern of business practices that degrade competition and stifle innovation. They did make a number of stark recommendations, including imposing structural separations, prohibiting dominant platforms from entering adjacent lines of business, tougher M&A approval process, and measures to prevent platforms from preferencing their own services. So potentially that could result in a significant impact on current and future business models for the big technology companies. Although you should note, certainly currently, politically, there's not the will to push ahead with wholesale reforms. That's still the will for that still remains somewhat limited, it has to be said. Say Apple moving ahead, saying they'll no longer sell headphones and speakers from rivals including Sonos, Bose and Logitech as the company gears up to launch its own new audio product. All third-party headphones have now been removed from its online stores. Employees have reportedly been told to remove products of sale at its physical stores in recent days. Shares in Sonos coming under pressure as that news broke. The move comes as Apple develops multiple new products to expand its audio strategy beyond its AirPods and products from its Beats subsidiary, including new over-ear headphones and smaller version of its HomePod smart speaker.
Yeah, and they all have special Apple adapters on them, which means you can't use them in anything else and you can't use anyone else's with Apple.
Yes, it's very true, isn't it? Mm. It's all part of the conspiracy.
Monopoly.
That's what the the House Judiciary was
abuse
suggesting.
Abusive market
actually.
Position, that's what they're calling it.
Yeah, they said Google, well, it wasn't just Apple, they said Apple, Facebook, Amazon all have monopoly power in various areas of their operation. Google overwhelmingly dominates the search market, so we have to wait to see where this one goes.
And bargain hunters picking up Rolls-Royce stock.
Look that way, the engine maker's Rolls-Royce shares doubled last week, registering its best weekly gain since listing in 1987, as those investors looking for a bargain came into the stock on hopes that its plan to raise funds will allow it to overcome liquidity concerns and survive the coronavirus travel crisis. Company aims to raise around £5 billion, including £2 billion from shareholders. Worries over the long-term travel, some of course have been beating down the value of the company. Airlines, we should remember, pay Rolls-Royce based on how many hours its engines fly in their larger jets. Clearly, at the height of the lockdown, there was a huge slump in terms of number of hours flown. The recovery has been somewhat weak as well. So still filtering through to the company. Shares bouncing last week, trading at 229 pence a share on Friday, having doubled over the week. Although we should remember that's a far cry from the 690 pence they traded at before the coronavirus outbreak.
Got a Rolls-Royce dealer in Cobham?
I don't know where. No, I don't think there was one in Cobham, to be honest. No, there should be. Should be.
Why, are you in the market?
Kind of think where our nearest Rolls-Royce dealer is, to be honest. Well, you know, coming from Monaco, how many do you have there?
Quite a few. There are not as many as you'd think there would be, though, really.
I like, if you know, if I was going to go that way, Rolls-Royce would be, the Rolls-Royce Thorn Black Badge is my car of choice.
There's a lot more Ferraris than anything else in Monaco, I've noticed.
Okay, well, you know, tough times.
Foreign exchanges, please.
First world problems. Pound against the dollar coming in at 1.30, euro dollar coming in at 1.18. You can get €1.10 for your British pound this morning.
Thank you very much.
Get back to that IKEA bed.
Thank you. Speak to you in the morning. Hank Potts from Barclays. It's